Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Tuesday. It is the 6th of July, 2021. I hope you enjoyed your holiday weekend. I certainly did. With me today, I have John Martellaro. Hi, John.
Hi, Kelly. How was your weekend?
It was delightful. It was at least not too hot here for a change. So, you know, and I will never be sad about having a day off. So I'm always glad for that. A bonus day off, I should say. So how was yours?
It was great. Watched a lot of Wimbledon.
That checks out. All right. So you're here to talk to me because you got some stuff on your mind.
Yeah. This week I was reading on the internet and watching on TV about the Federal Trade Commission case against Facebook, mm-hmm. which was thrown out by a judge who claimed that the government failed to make its case that Facebook was a monopoly and accused the government of assuming that the court would go along with the sort of politically correct subtext of the conversation throughout the last few months, and said that, well, the government didn't prove that Facebook was a monopoly, that it was very non-quantitative in its analysis of the problem.
Okay.
And feel free to resume the case in 30 days with renewed arguments, and I'll listen. But I thought that was very interesting because sometimes the public discourse and the commentary and the politically correct feelings and the weight of emotion sort of has to stand up to the cold, harsh light of a judge and the law. And it turns out that monopoly law, which was formed a long time ago, the Sherman Antitrust Act and the Clayton Antitrust Act and so on, were designed to deal with older kinds of businesses, you know, especially the oil industry, which is where it all started. And the traditional things that companies do to instate themselves as monopolies are not really practiced by modern high-tech companies. For example, you know, you're in the mall and you go into Dillard's and your favorite t-shirt's $20. And then you go into Penny and the same JCPenney and the same shirt is $20. And you go to Kohl's and you see the same shirt for $20. And later you find out that one company owns them all and the prices are fixed. And so there's no real competition. And that's not good for consumers. And the government is aware of that. Another thing that can happen is that this one big company buys up the competition, and so there's fewer retail stores for you to choose from. Mm-hmm. So all these antitrust laws were designed in the days when companies had a retail presence and they were trying to pull tricks to monopolize the business, buy up competitors, price fix, so on and so on. But on the internet, things are a lot different. And Congress hasn't really kept up to date. One of the things that the judge mentioned in the FTC case was that the government had a long, long time to fix the problem. And the government approved the merger of Facebook and Instagram and Facebook and WhatsApp. And so they didn't really act early and strongly. And now they're trying to come in after the fact. And the laws that are in place are not really designed to deal with current practices.
Yeah.
Facebook free. So, you know, what's to argue about, competitive pricing when the service that's being offered is free? Of course, we all know what the business model is. It's selling information about you and your habits and practices behind the scenes, and the government laws haven't really kept up with that. And yet, because people were fussing about the loss of freedom, So the FTC brought this case maybe in a hurried fashion without thinking through what laws they had available as remedies. And that brings up another point, and that's basically that there is this thought process amongst people who are arguing against the power and the wealth of these companies. And that is that they want to be able to do whatever they want to be able to do. Mm-hmm. So, for example, there are lots of people who claim that they wouldn't be able to install any app that they want on their phone. And that Apple is being monopolistic because it's a short, cute, intuitive term to use against Apple. But Apple's not a monopoly by any means. If you don't like an iPhone, then you're free to go buy an Android phone. Mm-hmm. They're pretty good. They're pretty good phones. And in China, your choices are even greater.
Yeah.
So, you know, people want freedom, absolute freedom without responsibility. A good example that comes to mind is if Apple built a car the same way they build their iPhone, you'd have to take a breathalyzer test and the car wouldn't start if you were drunk. And that would annoy people greatly. And look where we've come. We've had 80 years of cars that people are free to use at high speeds and get drunk and damage themselves and damage their cars and hurt other people. But they want that freedom. So as soon as you tell people they have to wear a mask during a pandemic, or as soon as you tell people they can't install an app unless Apple approves it, they get all upset and annoyed. And sometimes they file lawsuits trying to say that they want to be able to use their phone any way they want to do. And Apple says, no, we're gonna protect you. So there is this grousing sort of a undercurrent of thinking that these companies are very powerful. They do things their way. They get in the way of us having our absolute freedom and doing whatever we want to do. And because of their money and their influence, they keep us from doing what we want. And so we should file a monopoly and antitrust suit against them. And the laws aren't really in place, and never have been, to deal with the kind of technology that we're experiencing today on the internet, whether it's Apple and their products, and Facebook, and whether it's a monopoly or not. So those are my thoughts on the situation with FTC and Facebook. I don't think FTC is going to refile. I think they're going to lobby Congress to change laws. But, you know, I don't think Congress really understand the business model of these companies and how they got rich. I mean, nobody ever twisted your arm to buy an iPhone or to buy a Mac. Macs have, what, 12% of the domestic market, a few percent of the world market. Mm-hmm. You know, Apple can very effectively argue that they're not a monopoly by any means. So if Congress wants to change the way these companies do business, they're going to have to really understand how they do business and what's wrong, if there is anything, with the way they do business, and then set up sensible laws to protect the consumer.
Well, and the cynical take here, John, is that they're going to understand a check from a group that lobbies on behalf of Facebook a lot sooner than they're going to understand Facebook's business model. Mm-hmm. And the reason I say that is because I've listened. I have a vested interest, obviously, in what the technology debate looks like when people are talking about laws, when they drag people from technological fields in to testify about things. I watch all that stuff, and I watch it because I want to know how well they understand so that I know how well they're going to craft the laws. Like, that's the whole point, is we're going to gather information for all these people about a situation, and then we're going to legislate based on what we understand of the situation and what we think needs to happen as a result. And that's how it's supposed to work. And when you get people who don't understand, you know, and you're asking the head of Microsoft why the Google results for your name are coming up with results that you don't like, that doesn't give me a lot of faith in your ability to legislate what's supposed to happen to either of those companies. So I find it sort of frustrating, and part of why I find it frustrating is because I know it's possible to be a legislator and still have a handle on how it's supposed to work and what these sorts of things mean, because I live in Oregon, and one of my senators is Ron Wyden, and Ron Wyden is very good at understanding the impact of the stuff that happens and the longer term reach of things like letting Facebook continue unchecked or, you know, whatever other sorts of things, you know, that we're talking about. And so, like, understanding of what is happening and what the situation looks like and how an utter lack of legislation got us here is entirely possible. So I think that's why I find it extra frustrating, is because it just seems like other people don't take the time and, you know, don't really pay attention if they've got somebody on their staff whose job it is to be up to date on those sorts of things. So I find that part sort of irritating, because I know you could if you wanted to, and you just don't feel like it. And it's even easier not to feel like it if you're getting all sorts of lobbying and incentives. Sorry, I think I mispronounced checks there. From lobbyists who want you not to do it because they like the way things are right now. So that's the part that I have found sort of frustrating in watching all of this go by, because I'm very interested in figuring out what, like, we're never going to be able to predict what they're going to do, you know, if there is any sort of legislating or anything that's going to happen. But
I don't think the goal should be to try to extend, by analogy, the Sherman Antitrust Act and the Clayton Antitrust Act to modern high-tech industries. That's the wrong approach. If the government 10 years ago had been very on top of things and had strict laws about selling and sharing people's personal information, Google and Facebook would have never had the business success that they've had, and that would have been a successful remedy in a modern approach to a modern problem.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
But instead, the government just let things go, because what's good for business is good for America, and they let these companies grow and grow and become stronger and successful. And then they got too big, and then the right laws were never in place to deal with the problems that they're causing, that are irritating us today. And breaking a company up doesn't do anything to solve that kind of problem that we haven't remedied yet.
No, and, you know, saying that you're going to break up Facebook, you know, because you don't like how big they are, doesn't change their business model. They're now just a slightly smaller company with the exact same business model, monetizing your data. And so, like, the approach to this sounds counterintuitive, but it's more about data protection and consumer rights, and a lot less about the technology that you're using to do it, because there's a lot of offline stuff or things that people don't think about, you know, that might be also affected by that, right? Like your grocery store membership thing, you know, that you swipe every time you buy stuff so you can get all the coupons. Same sort of thing. Like, that's a whole lot of data that somebody has about you, and the only reason they want it is so that they can monetize that and be able to try and sell you more stuff. Like, that's their whole point. So, you know, it's more about consumer data protection and sort of pointing to Facebook as kind of a generic boogeyman, or pointing to the App Store as a generic boogeyman, is not really what you're trying to solve for.
And yet, if you don't want this cross information to flow, say, between your grocery store and your Amazon retailer, then the government should have never approved Amazon's acquisition of Whole Foods.
Yeah.
Because every time you go through Whole Foods, you show your phone and it scans you for your Amazon account, and they give you a discount. That sounds great until you realize that Amazon knows every little detail about what groceries you're buying now every week.
Yep.
And so the government had plenty of opportunities along the way to address the fundamental issues, and has not. Mm-hmm. And is all of a sudden trying to apply antitrust law to Facebook.
Well, and it's also trying to apply.
No, it didn't work.
It's also trying to apply 19th century antitrust law to 21st century companies. And,
exactly,
you know,
that's
there's
what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, we need new.
Will be smarter anytime soon? I don't know.
Yeah. But regulating airplanes by changing the way you paint the lines on freeways is really not going to get us anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, that's really what it feels like at this point. Like, we've evolved beyond this, you know. That's kind of not a good analogy. The right analogy is, like, regulating where horse-drawn carriages can and cannot go and how fast they can get there is not going to do anything about the airplane problem you're actually trying to solve. So, yeah.
I have a lot of respect for Elizabeth Warren, but I think she's off track when she talks about breaking up companies. I don't think that works anymore in this modern day and age.
Well, break them up if you want to, but my point remains. Like, if you break up Facebook, who is monetizing all of their consumer data and selling it to other people, I think that's the part that is what chaps me, is that they're offering that data to others. Amazon doesn't. Amazon keeps it for themselves. Amazon fiercely protects that data with layers and layers of security and stuff, because Amazon wants all that data for themselves, because all Amazon wants to do is continue to sell to you more and more effectively. Amazon doesn't want anybody else to get into the middle of that relationship.
I got to say, Amazon has been a lifesaver during the pandemic and the lockdown. It's probably doubled my business with the company because of just the convenience of having certain things delivered to your door rather than having to go to a mall and mix it up with people.
But also, like, but that's another, like, that's another piece of it, though, is you know, if you want to solve for what it is that people don't like about Amazon, like, it's not, you know, it's not that they are popular and that they make it very convenient and that they have been very helpful for the last year. That's not, like, that's not the thing you need to solve for. Like, the issues with Amazon are a very different thing. And again, like, you know, and that's not one that consumer data protection laws are going to solve either, because for most people, that's not the issue that we have with Amazon. So it's going to be interesting to see, I think, where all of this ends up. And part of that is, like I said, because of my frustration with people who want to legislate something they don't understand.
Well, I can't really complain about anything Apple's done. One of the things that I did think about, it bears some scrutiny, is the billions of dollars that Apple's made from making Google Search the default search engine. That I have a little bit of heartburn about.
Yeah.
And that would have been easy. That would have been an easy remedy to say, no, you can't do that, and let people choose. But other than that, I can't complain too much about Apple's. And nobody can complain about Apple undercutting or price fixing, because they build premium products and their products are on the expensive side rather than on the cheap side. So they're not really in the business of undercutting the competition. So they're focused on security and privacy and safety with high quality products at a premium price, and protecting the consumer is really a good approach. And I can't see anything wrong with it. And I'd hate to see the government mess that up.
Well, yeah, the issues we have with Apple, well, in general, the issues that people have with Apple that sound like a legitimate thing and not just, I don't like that they do that, but, like, I have a well-reasoned argument for why there's a better way that Apple could be doing the thing that they're doing right now. Like, those sorts of arguments also are not served by this. And, like, you know, Apple makes a thing that a lot of people like, oh, no. You know, you can't regulate that. Like, just because you don't like how they're doing it doesn't mean it's that they're not within the law. And, like, the thing that's been interesting in all of this is listening to, you know, their stance. Like, when people complain about taxes and stuff, and Tim Cook says, we comply with all the laws. If you want us to pay more taxes, make the laws say that we should, and then we will, you know.
And I worked for Apple before the iPhone came out.
Yeah.
And they were suffering greatly in the business sector. Microsoft had all the boxes checked. Microsoft was all over it with Microsoft Exchange and Microsoft Windows and Microsoft other services for the business people. And the Macintosh had a tough time in the business world. It did better in science, which is where I was focused because of the Unix basis of macOS. But Apple decided to go out and compete and build great products and build a great smartphone.
Yeah.
And they just succeeded by sheer brilliance and hard work. And you can't fault them for that when people as a group recognize that Apple's building great stuff and makes the company wildly successful. That's not a cause for scrutiny or punishment. It's a cause for celebration.
Yeah, that's what I would think too. That's going to do it for us today. If you have opinions on this, John looks forward to your letters. You can reach us at observations@macobserver.com, at TMO Daily on Twitter, or by leaving comments in the show notes. John, as always, thank you so much for coming by.
Hey, thanks for having me. It was fun.
Of course. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.